Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 46 through 49 this morning. This is the conclusion of the sermon that Jesus preached after he had called his disciples, that is the 12, to himself. And we'll see that he concludes with this call to obedience as we look at the end of his sermon. So we'll read verses 46 through 49, but before we do, let us pray and ask God's blessing upon the reading and preaching of his word. Our God, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It guides our path. We thank you that we once again can open up your word. We know that your word is the very word of Christ, our Savior who loves us, speaking to us. Now may we hear him. And may we not only hear him, but do what he commands. Bless this to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, hear now the word of God. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Yesterday was an important day in history. Yesterday was the 76th anniversary of D-Day. That day when the troops were deployed, they stormed the beaches of Normandy, and they were brave men. Many of them never made it out of the water or ever off that beach. Last month, we remembered them as we gathered together for Memorial Day. We remembered those who have fallen in service, and those who have served, and they ought to be remembered. They deserve it. Why? They are the real deal. But did you know that there are many imposters who say that they have served? I read of one who put on so many medals that when he was evaluated, they said, "This guy should be world famous. There is no way anyone could have been awarded all of these medals." And yet he had them on and displayed them proudly. They who do this, who then are imposters, they may know all the terms. They may wear the right uniform. They may have all the medals, but they're not the real deal. Now, how do you tell the difference? Well, I think one way might be to take someone who's an imposter and someone who is the real deal and drop them in a combat zone and see how they do. One who has had the experience, who has put those things into practice, is actually going to survive, and the other one is probably going to run for the hills. You're going to be able to tell the difference very quickly. It's the same way with Christians. There are many imposters, even in the church. There are many who say that they are Christians. They know all the Christian language. They know how to dress the part. They may even display their medals. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have read. Look at how much I know. But they're not the real deal. They're imposters. And they, as Jesus tells us here, will not stand when trials come. They will not stand. They will be like that man who built his house on no foundation. And when the stream beat vehemently, it immediately fell, and the ruin was great. As a pastor, I am not interested in making imposter Christians. I don't want imposter Christians under my ministry. I want the real deal. So I want to challenge you today with this question. Are you really a Christian? Are you really a follower of Jesus? Now, you may say, of course I am. I'm here at church. Of course I am. Because I believe in Jesus. I call him Lord, Lord. You may be thinking, who are you to challenge me? And ask me that question. Am I really a follower of Jesus? Well, it's not me that's challenging you. Ultimately, it is Jesus himself. He's the one asking the question. He's the one saying, are you really my follower? Because that is ultimately important, and you would do well to answer his challenge today. Are you really a follower of Jesus? This is the end of this sermon. Jesus is preaching to all who have come to hear him. In verse 17 of Luke chapter 6, he comes down from the mountain to a level place, and we read that there were those who came to hear him and be healed of him by of their diseases. To heal by him of their diseases. But they've come to hear him. And as we've gone through this sermon, and remember, this is all one sermon, we have seen that Jesus begins with this teaching on who is truly blessed. It's not those who seem to have it all in this life. It's often the poor, the persecuted, the hungry. They are truly blessed because their reward is great in heaven. He goes on to teach in verse 27 and following this concept of radical Christian love. Turn the cheek. Someone takes from you, give more to them. That's how God is. God is one who is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. He goes on and says, judge not, condemn not. Instead of judging and condemning, you need to forgive and give. Forgive and give. And he says, the way to do that, the way not to be a judging and condemning person is to take care of your own heart first. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and you do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, get that plank out of your own eye, and then and only then will you be able to rightly deal with others. And when you do that, Jesus goes on, when your heart is changed, when you are looking at yourself first, you will be like that good tree that does not bear bad fruit. Because your root will have been changed. And out of your heart, your words will flow, your actions will flow. But he concludes this sermon in this way. And conclusions to a sermon are important. Learn that in seminary. What you conclude with is really what those who are hearing you are going to leave with. Maybe what's going to be on their mind. And it's interesting to note what Jesus concludes with here. He concludes with a call to obedience. This is what he wants people to leave with. And Jesus uses an illustration here of two builders who build houses. Now, we're not told anything about these houses or what they looked like. In fact, one house may have been a rickety building and the other one may have looked really nice. Perhaps the one who was building on the right foundation didn't look so good from the outside. But Jesus says, don't look at the outside. We need to look at the foundation. We need to look at what's underneath. So he uses this illustration. And he says it's the one who built it on the foundation, who went down to the rock, to the bedrock, who didn't simply build it on the earth, that did the right thing. But what is this foundation? What is this rock? Now, often when we hear rock, we think of Jesus. He is the rock. He is our foundation. He is the one that we build everything on. He is the chief cornerstone. Yes, absolutely. Scripture teaches that. But that's not the point of the passage here. The rock here is not simply speaking about Christ. He is the rock upon which everything is built. But here Jesus is using this rock to speak of Christian obedience. In other words, as we apply this to ourselves, you are the builder. The house is your faith, and the foundation is the obedience to the Word of God. obedience to the word of God. Jesus here places obedience particularly to what he has already said in this sermon, because in the context here he's talking about how we are to live the Christian life. He places obedience to not only his words here, but to all the words of God in a place of importance in the Christian life. I can't stress this enough. If you are a true follower of Jesus, you will do what he says. If you're a true follower of Jesus, you will do what he says. That's what Jesus is getting at here. I want to look at three things as we think about the question, are you really a follower of Jesus? And the first thing is that being a follower of Jesus is more than words. Second, being a follower of Jesus is hard work. But third, being a follower of Jesus is worth the effort. So first, Jesus teaches us here that being a follower of him is more than words. It's more than the words that you speak. Notice how he begins in verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Jesus will have, has had, and will have, and continues to have many who say they are followers, who say, Lord, Lord, and yet they don't obey him. They don't go and do what he tells them to do. We might call these individuals do-nothing professors. Do-nothing professors. They profess to be Christians, but they are not. You call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say. These are dishonest people. Think about it. If you call someone Lord, if you say Master, then that implies something. That implies that you are serving that person. But if you go and say, you're my master, but I'm not going to do anything you say, is that person really your master? Absolutely not. So we see here that these are dishonest people. They said they were servants, but they did not serve. And they're often self-deceived people. James will say that in James chapter 1 and verse 22. If you only hear and you don't do, you will deceive yourself. Don't be deceived. It's more than the words you speak. It's also more than the words you hear. You do not do the things which I say. That implies that they had heard him speak. And we see that the man described as the foolish man or the one who builds on no foundation is one who heard, verse 49, and did nothing. He heard and did absolutely nothing. So while Jesus had followers that were do-nothing professors, he also had followers that were do-nothing hearers. They heard and did nothing. This is not only true in Jesus' ministry, but it was true also of God's people in the Old Testament. Prophet Ezekiel and chapter 33. Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. Describing those who come to hear the word of the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Lord, Lord, but I'm not going to do what you command me to do. That's what Jesus is getting at here. It was true in the New Testament church. As I mentioned James earlier, look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's happening in the Old Testament. It was happening during the ministry of Jesus, and it was happening in the church. Do you think it's happening today? Absolutely. I just don't want it to be happening in your life. I don't want you to be a do-nothing professor, a do-nothing hearer. I don't want your ruin to be great. When you think about it, the people who simply hear the word of God and do not do it are lazy. This individual who did not dig down, who did not find the rock, was lazy. I'm just going to build it here. I'm going to take the easy way out. You know, these people want Jesus without the hassle of loving him. I want Jesus, but I don't want to change. That's too hard. And that's not what Jesus teaches us here. It's not what you say. It's not what you hear. People may say, I read my Bible through every year. I'm in church every Sunday. I am hearing the Word of God preached. I listen to Christian broadcasts. In fact, I've listened to 15 sermons this week alone. Wonderful. Wonderful. But if you don't go and by God's Spirit apply that in your life, then you're the one that Jesus describes here as one who calls him Lord, Lord, who hears what he says but does nothing. Does nothing. You know, pure religion, again in James chapter 1, is described in this way. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, yes, the only way you can do that is by knowing God through His Word, by having the Holy Spirit in you, but it doesn't stop there. In fact, we have a great opportunity in our world today. There's so much going on. So much wickedness, so much division. But we as the church who are called to not sit on our hands, but to go out and to be the light of Christ to the world, can do that and are called to do that. Later on in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says this, Luke 11, verse 28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The same message that Jesus was preaching in this conclusion. And so I want to warn you, if you're relying on the words you speak, Lord, Lord, if you're relying on the words you hear, then Jesus says you're like the builder. In verse 39, he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. And when the storms came, immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Matthew Henry puts it this way. We are cheating ourselves if we think that a bare profession of religion will save us. That hearing the sayings of Christ will bring us to heaven without doing them. J.C. Ryle, obedience is the only sound evidence. Notice it is an evidence. Your obedience does not save you. God doesn't say, you have done well, now enter into heaven. But it is that greatest evidence that your heart has been changed. It is the only sound evidence of saving faith. And that the talk of the lips is worse than useless if it is not accompanied by sanctification in the life. You're going to be changed. So what is the foundation then? What you say, Lord, Lord, and what you hear is not the foundation. The foundation, Jesus says, is how you live. How you live. How you apply what you are hearing in your life. And so being a follower of Jesus is more than just words, but being a follower of Jesus is hard work. Look at the description here in verse 48 of Luke chapter 6 of this man. The one who actually comes to Jesus, who not only hears what he says, but does it, is like a man building a house who dug deep. The English in the New King James Version says dug deep, but these words dug and deep are actually two different verbs. He dug, and then he went deeper. Now this took some time, and it took some patience, didn't it? He's not like the man who just built upon the earth. And notice what this man doesn't do. He doesn't come and find a rock that's already there. He has to work at it. He has to dig, and he has to keep digging, and he has to go deeper and deeper and deeper. He had to sweat and toil until finally he found the rock, that foundation, That requires patience. The Christian life requires patience as you dig down, as you seek to do what God commands you to do. But it also requires perseverance. This man worked hard, didn't he? He wanted to make sure he was building on the right foundation. Now, the man in verse 49 who built upon the earth was probably able to construct his house a lot quicker. After all, he didn't have to go through the hassle of digging down. But that was foolish. No, we need to build on the right foundation. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19 puts it this way. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19. Actually, jumping back to verse 18. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That foundation there, that they are storing up for themselves, are what they are doing. They are working out that faith that has been placed in them by God through their application of it in their lives. Same thing is taught in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, in verse 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ, those who say, Lord, Lord, depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold, silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Same concept there. There are two different kinds of builders. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Prepared for every good work. That's the foundation. But it's hard. It's difficult. It's difficult to deny yourself, isn't it? It's difficult to take up your cross daily. It's a battle. It's much easier to just go with the flow. It's hard work. But a deep faith is only as deep as it is practiced daily in your life. That's not only what's going to show the depth of your faith, but it's what's going to also increase the depth of your faith. So true religion, true faith, really following Jesus is going to cost you. It is not easy to be a follower of Jesus, but being a follower of Jesus is worth the effort. It's worth the effort because you'll be prepared for whatever comes your way. Notice, we see this one who did prepare, who did use that patience and that perseverance to dig down deep, to make sure that his faith was grounded and rooted upon that foundation. When those storms came, verse 48, we're told of a flood that arose, and floods in this region at this time would come very quickly. The flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it. Could not shake it. Why? Could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. The man who we read about building this house understood that the rainy seasons were going to come, and he built accordingly. And when the rainy seasons came and the flood came, his house did not even shake. Could not shake it. And I think the application of it to us as we think about builders ourselves, and as we think about our faith, and we want an unshakable faith, well, your rainy seasons are going to come. What are those? Trials, temptations, loss of loved ones. We've seen that in our congregation. Your own death, which will come one day. You'll have to walk through that. The final judgment. All of these things will come, but if you have built upon the right foundation, you will not be moved. You will not be shaken. No matter what comes, you will be ready because you will be given that strength. You'll make it through everything In fact, I want you to understand that no one is stronger than a true follower of Jesus. If you are a true follower of Jesus, if you are building on the right foundation, it is Christ alone through whom your salvation is found, and here you are calling Him Lord, Lord, you are hearing His word, and you are doing it in your life, you will not be shaken. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. It's a good one to go to if you are feeling those floods and streams beating upon your life. You go to Psalm 62, and you confess with David, who wrote this psalm, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Paul understood this. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. I love the words of Paul here. Paul had gone through many trials. Paul had been shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, all of these things. And listen to his words in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 22. And you'll see how he understood this foundation. Acts 20, verse 22. "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." So he's not sure what's going to happen, but he knows this. Chains and tribulations await me. But look at verse 24. "But none of these things move me." None of these things move me. "Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul is saying, that's not going to move me. And oh, by the way, not only is that not going to move me, but I'm going to continue to do the work of the Lord and continue to build up that foundation. It's not going to move me whatsoever. I want you to be the right kind of builder. I want you to have the right kind of house, because I know that trials are coming your way. They already have. If you've lived any amount of time, you know that. And if we were to rewind time back to the Christmas of last year, and you would have told me that all of the things that have happened this year were going to happen, I would say, no, are you crazy? But they have. And we don't know but there's still half a year left. We don't know what's happening. But that's okay. We don't need to know what's happening, because we are rooted and grounded in one who will keep us from being shaken no matter what happens. We can testify with Paul, "I will not be moved." But in order to have that testimony, you must be building on the right foundation. Jesus speaks of two builders and two houses, but only one foundation. Only one foundation. Now, some of you may look good on the outside. Like others, you come to church, you worship at the same church, you've been baptized, you partake of the Lord's Supper. But do you put into practice the words of God in every area of your life? Even and especially when it is difficult. In other words, are you really a follower of Jesus, or do you just think that you are? Are you really a follower of Jesus? Have you fooled yourself? Are you like a person who is living in a house with absolutely no foundation, thinking that when the storm comes, I'm going to be fine? Well, if you are, know this: the storms are coming, and you will not stand when they do. And so I want to make sure that you know that you're really a follower of Jesus. Well, how do you know that? Jesus tells us here in Luke chapter 6, it's not because of the words you speak. Lord, Lord, you can say that you're a Christian until you're blue in the face, and it won't matter. Jesus says, many will call me Lord, Lord in that day, and I will say what? Depart from me. I never knew you. It doesn't matter how much you hear or read His Word. Knowledge is useless unless it's put to use. You can be a walking encyclopedia of all kinds of doctrine. And Jesus will say, you were like the man who heard and did nothing. What matters in the long run is what you do. Because that's going to show your heart. Is your heart changed? If your heart's changed, your actions are going to change. You're going to be like the man who, through patient perseverance, dug and continued to go down deep, deep to that foundation till he hit rock. And you must do so. And the way to do that is to strive, as difficult as it is, to put God's word into practice in every area of your life. But know this. This is the assurance that Jesus gives you here. When you do that, when you seek to do what he tells you to do, to live according to his word, that when those storms come, and they will, trials are going to come, temptations, the loss of loved ones, even the loss of your own life. Jesus says this, none of those things will move you. None of those things will shake you. None of those things will take you down. Like that house that was founded on the rock, you will be unmovable. And that's my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that you will take to heart the words of Jesus here. Evaluate your life. Are you really a follower of Jesus? Do you say, Lord, Lord, that's good. Do you hear his word? That's good. But what is most important? What does Jesus end this sermon with? Do you do what I say? Because that shows if you are really a follower of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, thank you for your word. We ask that you would challenge us by your Holy Spirit to evaluate our own lives and ask the question, are we really following you? We want to be not only those who proclaim to be Christians, who call you Lord, not only those who hear your word, but by your Spirit make us doers of your word. And where we need to repent of sin, help us to repent of sin. Where we need to change things, help us to do so. For we know, God, this is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.